Welcome on in, Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sesmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up right now on Sports360AZ.com. Pro, college, high school, things we see around the great state of Arizona, and we localize them a great deal. Peter King will be with us, the Monday morning quarterback. He joins me every week. Things around the Cardinals. He spoke with Larry Fitzgerald last night at length for a story that he's working on. I want to talk to Peter about that. Also, the Colts and what happened with Andrew Luck last night. Todd Bowles being 2-0 and a lot of things around the NFL with Peter King in about 15 minutes. Ronnie Lott's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, Hall of Famer with the Pac-12 Network. He's a USC alum. His coach is under fire. He's also a Pac-12 Network analyst, so he's got to sit here and analyze what are the problems with USC as they come in this weekend. And also the U of A-UCLA game, and the 49ers are here. So there's a lot I want to catch up with Ronnie Lott on. And then Greg Byrne will be with us at about 10 till 11 this morning. U of A athletic director. Biggest game for him, I think, from a national exposure standpoint. You can make the argument of March Madness for basketball, but basketball has been a proven commodity through decades in Tucson. Football has not, until recently. And the fact that ESPN's College Game Day is coming to Tucson this week, and it opens up a lot of eyeballs. We had Rich Rodriguez on yesterday, and he was on the TV show last night. I'll talk to Greg Byrne about what it means from an exposure standpoint. If you're an Arizona Wildcat fan, you have to be absolutely geeked. My understanding is the game is going to be sold out, that it's one of the hottest tickets that they've had in a sleepy football town. They're finally getting their act together in Tucson, so we'll talk with Greg Byrne about that. So Peter King, Ronnie Lott, Greg Byrne. Good show today. Some of what is on my mind today. So last night, I actually watched quite a bit of the Diamondbacks game late after the Monday night game was over. Oliver Luck, in talking with Oliver Luck about his son Andrew, and all the things that we did on Andrew Luck when he was at Stanford, it's like the guy is a shell of himself. I remember having the dad on, and the dad had great composure and still does, I'm sure, but you see the sun, and it's like, what's going on here? What's happened in Indianapolis? Watching them last night, who would have thought the Colts would be so anemic and so inept? That game was surprising to me. So I watched that, and I watched quite a bit of the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are coming to the end of their season, and they're not going to get to my 84 wins, and that's fine. Some of you have reminded me about that as we've gone through the year, and I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But what I have seen out of the team is some fight and some resiliency. Last night was the first win. Eric, did you know this? The Diamondbacks won last night in Los Angeles for the first time since June 15th of 2014.
It doesn't necessarily surprise me, but man, that's a long time.
That's like 400 games ago. I don't know. It's a long time. 400 days, maybe, I should say. That's a long time. And Goldschmidt hit one out last night. Aaron Hill hit one out last night. Tomas hit one out last night. They're 72 and 78 with 12 games remaining. They have far exceeded my expectations for the year. It's no secret they need a top-of-the-line starter. But last night, they win by a score of 8-4. I was very pleased with what I saw out of the baseball team last night. And then the TV show came on afterwards, and I thought the show was better. Every show gets better and better. Like, if I go back and watch the first show, we've done 6 episodes now. And the first episode, I'd go back and look at it now and just want to puke all over my shoes, probably. No offense to anybody, but even myself. I don't know. It's getting to where I want it to be. So I was very pleased with that. The college end is, you know, the Cardinals 49ers game Sunday. I'll talk with Peter about this. I feel like the Cardinals should take care of business and they should be 3-0. I feel like the Cardinals are one of the better teams in the NFC, but here's the proviso. They haven't played the toughest of schedules. And while many of you are jumping up and down about, hey, look at the Seahawks, they're really off to a bad start. I don't know. They don't win when they go to St. Louis, and they lost to Green Bay. The Cardinals beat up a Saints team that I just didn't think was very good. I thought Bruce Arians out-coached Sean Payton. And then the game Sunday, come on. The Bears might be the worst team in the entire NFL. The Texans are close. The Texans and the Bears are close. And now if you're a Bears fan, you have to go take that poor-looking team and go to Seattle. Good luck with that. I think Seattle next couple of weeks gets it figured out. There's going to be a game or two during the season. You know, the wise guys in Vegas will call it a trap game. I just look at the schedule, and there's always a game along the way that you look at and say, wow, what happened here? And you wouldn't think that this would be the week. You know, this is a week where it's NFC West, check. It's a team that has had the better of you, if you look at the record through the years, check. It's an organization that I don't think cares much for the organization that it's playing against, top to bottom, check. I think the secondary of the 49ers isn't very good. All I saw Sunday, I was out at a local establishment having my local morning Sunday tomato concoction. You can fill in the blank from there. And every time I looked up on the screen, I saw somebody running free for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I have to believe that as good as Carson Palmer has played, Peter King had a great note today. Keep Carson in the Pope-mobile. You know, with the Pope coming into the country today, that's a good call. That's what you need here. So I'm not going to sit here all week long and try to figure out how the Cardinals are going to beat the 49ers and what they have to do. Yeah, we'll do some segments on it, but really they should be 3-0 this week. It's a divisional game, so there is a little bit more interest to me. In the next 2 weeks, they have St. Louis. Okay. Those are both teams that they're at home. They should be 4-0. Pretty simple. The college end of things. So some of my friends that I've worked with through the years out in Los Angeles, I've been in contact with them just to get a gauge and a temperature about the heat on Steve Sarkisian. I don't know how to put this any more straightforward than Steve Sarkisian is under so much heat to win this Saturday night's game. And that the Trojans to this point coming in to play ASU, and Todd Graham's teams typically get better as the season goes along. What I've liked about Todd Graham, although those of you that pointed this out yesterday, you said, well, what happened against U of A at the end of the year? That's a fair point. It's a fair point. But typically they get better and better and better. They're not a team that fades out of sight. And so the Trojan fans are wanting Ed Orgeron to come back, or Clancy Pendergast to come back, or Chip Kelly to get fired in Philadelphia and take over. I mean, they're throwing names out already on talk shows and writing about it and blogging about it. And Sark is under fire from all angles. And so if you're Pat Hayden and you come out here, and let's just say that things don't go well for USC, ASU fans will be very pleased with the outcome. I know that the coaching staff from Arizona State does not fear coaching against Sarkisian. I know that the USC Trojan team that I saw Saturday night was very undisciplined, a ton of penalties. And I don't think their defense is very good. And I don't want to hear about scholarship reductions. You know, you're not, if you're a USC alum or fan, your team's just not good. Now, you may come in here and whack ASU. It would say an awful lot about Sarkisian to get his team up to do that. And Cody Kessler is thrown for a ton of yards, and Cody Kessler's quarterback rating is great. But he's played against two teams in the Sun Belt that aren't any good, and he's played against Stanford so far. So I'm the jury's out. But I'm looking at this game and thinking that there's going to be some real nervous energy around the stadium towards Sark and all that. You're going to the game, right, E?
I am. Yeah, I'll get there right a little bit before kickoff, and I'll be leaving sometime Sunday morning. Thanks to the 7:22 kickoff.
Love those 7:22.
No, it's fine. It should be a good game.
But are you going into this game thinking the same thing I am, or feeling the same thing, or am I? You think I'm making too much out of where they are?
Oh, I mean, it's the first. This is the first true test. This is the Pac-12 opener. This is
for ASU,
for both teams.
No,
I mean not for USC, but I mean. If USC
in the Pac-12 South.
If USC starts off 0-2 in conference,
but 0-1 in Pac-12 South is your point because they played Stanford, which is in the North.
True.
Yeah.
It's a big game for both teams.
No,
certainly.
But I don't. Todd Graham's under no pressure here.
No,
Todd Graham's under nothing.
But from ASU still didn't play a real crisp game on Friday.
No, they didn't. They didn't. But you know, I would say that on this front. For Saturday night, I think that if if Berkovici runs for, I don't know, 60 yards, 50, 60 yards, they're going to win the game. It means he's going to break some free like Hogan did the other night.
That's so dangerous, though. I mean, yeah, of course, Berko has legs, and yes, he can run, but do you really want him taking a bunch of shots when the backup quarterback has yet to take a snap in a college game, whoever
that.
It is?
I'm fine with that. Toughen up. At some point, come on.
So when Berko is out for the year,
maybe,
and we're looking at a bunch of freshmen,
yeah,
and the season is completely flipped upside down just because you said,
houses.
Yeah, he should run for 60 yards.
Can't put these guys in glass houses. If he runs for even 40 yards, I'm fine with. I'll even drop it a little bit.
Okay.
But if he runs for like five, I don't know. They didn't just – USC's defense wasn't any good. There's a big story, and I'll take a break and get to Peter. There's a big story today about sports media and gambling on the air, okay? ESPN's directive to infuse its college football on-air coverage with more gambling content.
Oh, they have? I haven't noticed.
Yeah, I know. And so now gambling graphics have popped up on Fox Sports 1, and we're in a space where they're actually considering dialing it back. But I think it's worth having a discussion about because I know you guys are into the Vaquero segment we have on Fridays, and we do fantasy football with Fabiano, and there's people that are all over that. That's part of the fun. What is lost in translation nowadays is the affinity for a team. It's all about how's your fantasy team doing versus I want this team to do well. More and more people are just caught up in the gaming side of it. All right, Peter King is next. We'll talk with Peter about his conversation with Larry Fitzgerald, what happened last night with the Colts, then Ronnie Lott, the Hall of Famer, and then Greg Byrne. Busy, busy Tuesday. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King joins us now, the MMQB. A lot to get to. I'll get to the Cardinals on the backside, but now that we're through 2 weeks, I've got Chuck Pagano torching Andrew Luck. I've got this RG3 against Kirk Cousins war. I've got Philadelphia and Seattle at 0-2. Peter, I've got a lot of angles here early in the season. What's of most interest to you 2 weeks in?
Probably three things. The Indianapolis Colts imploding. And you sort of saw it coming when Chuck Pagano wouldn't sign a contract extension in the offseason. And look, everyone is focused the angst between Chuck Pagano and the general manager, Ryan Grigson. I think this is more coming from the owner, Jim Irsay, for a very simple reason. It's Irsay who basically directed that he wanted to give a one-year contract extension offer at something either at or very close to what Pagano already was making. If you're Pagano, you have to think that's not an extension I want to sign. And then, you know, to me, when I watch their team right now, they are so incredibly reliant/dependent on Andrew Luck that when Luck doesn't play at a very high level, and I thought he was impetuous and made some really bad decisions last night, Monday night, I just, they're going to be in big trouble. And I never bought them as a Super Bowl team, as they just are not a good enough run defense team. So that's one thing. I think the two other things quickly, the Philadelphia Eagles being massively incompetent on offense is a stunner. And it just goes to show you that if you don't have an offensive line, if you're struggling on the offensive line, and fans in the Valley will know exactly of what I speak because you've seen so many times with Palmer, without Palmer, what happens when the Jonathan Coopers of the world don't come in and play well right away, and a lot of the Bobby Masseys and all that stuff struggle. The offensive line is just absolutely killing the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think, finally, the fact that the Baltimore Ravens are 0-2 and got smacked down by the Oakland Raiders Sunday, that's a head-scratcher to me.
Todd Bowles being 2-0, I feel good for him. One of the absolute great guys I've dealt with through the years out here. Are you surprised with where the Jets sit today?
I was surprised at how handily they beat Indianapolis. But, you know, really, one of the problems with talking about the NFL after 2 weeks is that so much of it depends on what your schedule was the first 2 weeks.
Correct.
So they beat Cleveland at home the first week. It's, you know, that and $6 will get you a latte at Starbucks. I think that, you know, I've got a bunch of friends. My daughter lived in Seattle for a long time, so she's got a bunch of friends, and I have a bunch of friends who live out in Seattle. I've been trying to talk most of them, you know, talk them out of jumping off Mount Rainier or something, because, look, the toughest two games on the Seattle Seahawks schedule this year were at St. Louis, because they never play well at St. Louis, and at Green Bay. Well, they played those two games in the first 8 days of the season. So what do you think is going to happen? What would happen if games 3 and 4 on the Seahawks schedule, home with Chicago, home with Detroit, were reversed? Does anybody have any significant doubts that the Seahawks, you know, wouldn't be 2-0 right now? So it's so much, Brad, how your schedule falls.
Peter King, the MMQB, joining us for a couple of minutes. So the Cardinals are 2-0, but they played a Bears team that was just incompetent, had 15 penalties, could have easily been close to 20. They played a Saints team that I thought was overmatched. Do you get too high, too low? You've got them ranked number 4 in your Peter Fine 15 this week in your column.
The reason I really like the Cardinals right now is that, look, it's been a 17-game stretch now for Carson Palmer when he's been healthy. It's very clear that he has come back from ACL surgery without any problem whatsoever. I don't know if he goes home and takes 7 Advil every day or if he's in any pain, you know, or anything like that. But all I know is that the first two games, he has played like the Carson Palmer of old. I happened to talk to Larry Fitzgerald this week, and he understands that it's not going to go on forever, and that he knows. The great thing about Fitzgerald to me, he's 32 years old, and he understands that because you don't know how long you have in this game, that you better appreciate when times are good. And I just have a feeling about this team right now. I think times could be very, very good as long as, and this is a big asterisk, they've got to continue to get the pass rush, and they've got to stay healthy in the back end. Their secondary is very good, but they've got to stay healthy there, and they have to continue to get a good enough pass rush.
When you talked with Fitz, Peter, it was a lot was made about how he wasn't being targeted. He hadn't been in the end zone. I had fantasy people that said he's still available on the waiver wire, if that means anything. But the common fan thought that his best days were behind him. What did you make out of his performance Sunday at Chicago?
Well, his best days probably are behind him. I mean, is Larry Fitzgerald ever going to have a month like he had in the postseason, you know, the Super Bowl postseason, whatever it was 6 years ago? I mean, that's one of the best months that a receiver's had in NFL history,
mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't think it's any crime to say that he's not going to be at 32 what he was at 25. I mean, he even addressed that. He told me, he said, look, I know I don't have 8 years left. That's one of the reasons why I appreciate everything that's happening right now. And it's funny. I think a lot of people would look at what happened against Chicago and would say, you know, there had to be some grand, incredible design. And Larry said to me, he said, hey, it's not like Bruce Arians came up, tapped me on the shoulder Wednesday and said, hey, this is going to be a big week for you. You know, it didn't happen. Sometimes the game plan just works out that way. You're down in the red zone and you're on a guy who Carson trusts that you can beat, and so he throws me the ball. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, especially with the advent of fantasy football, we want our stars to be stars every week. And
right.
You know what? It just isn't how the game is played, Brad.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, James Jones is going to show up in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers knows him, so he's going to be a big factor. He's going to catch 2 or 3 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks, especially with Jordy Nelson out, because everybody's going to be focusing on Randall Cobb. So here comes James Jones. Doesn't take a genius to find out, hey, maybe I ought to make James Jones my flex player this week or whatever the rules are in your league, because things can happen. And I remember saying this to people about John Brown last year after leaving Cardinals camp. I said, look, I can't tell you when it's going to happen. I can't tell you what's going to happen. But all I know is that if I was in a fantasy league, I'd pick up John Brown in the last round because he's going to be good this year. And that's probably about where he belongs. He wasn't good every week, but he was good enough to play a lot of weeks last year. And I think it's the same thing with him, and same thing with, I think, with a lot of offensive weapons on the Cardinals right now, as long as Carson Palmer stays upright.
Peter King, the MMQB, had a great line about Carson and the Popemobile this week. So that's what they need to get him around.
Yeah, you got to protect him. 15-2 in his last 17.
Before I let you go, Cardinals 49ers this Sunday. What's your thumbnail on this game? Do the Cardinals move to 3-0?
I think the one thing the Pittsburgh Steelers showed, and I'm sure that James Betcher, when he looks at the tape of this game and figuring out the game plan, the one thing that they know is that you contain Colin Kaepernick and you pressure him. Okay, you don't give him all kinds of time back there, because mechanically he's better, and I think he's going to be a little bit better because mechanics are better accuracy-wise. So you don't want to give him a lot of time. But the one thing I think is really, really important when you play the 49ers right now, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers showed that they still have some massive question marks in that secondary. And they really have not proven that they can play great on the back end. They're still very good, I think, on the front end, but I think this is going to be a game for John Brown and for Carson Palmer to air it out a little bit, because I think that there are going to be opportunities in the deep secondary for San Francisco.
Good stuff, Peter. Appreciate the time and the visit as always. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott joins us now for a couple of minutes. Pac-12 Network studio analyst. Huge Saturday night ahead. U of A and UCLA. USC taking on ASU. Ronnie, right off the top, a USC Trojan alum, a Pac-12 Network analyst. How are you handling what you're seeing with the Trojans so far this season?
Well, first, everything was going great, and everything was just fine, and then all of a sudden you play Stanford and you realize that we're in a game for our lives, and not only a game for our lives, but it's a game that you've got the home field advantage. You know that things are going well. They started off well, and then you get into the game, and as we got into the game, the more that we got into the game, you start to realize that maybe we don't have this under control, and you start to realize that Stanford's going to win the game. And unfortunately, when you put up 41 points on a defense that you feel that they have the speed, they have the athletic ability, they have a lot that they can get done on the defense, and they weren't able to get it done, especially on third down, you realize that, man, something's wrong, and something needs to be fixed. And now we got Arizona State, and you hope that they fix it. And the reason you hope that they fix it is that, I'm hoping, at least as an alum, I'm hoping that they fix it. But as a team, you're hoping that they fix it. And I think the other thing that I would say is that it's tough. Playing Arizona State after what they went through and watching that game and seeing how it unfolded, and now coming into Coach Graham and his buzzsaw, and really, when you go down to the desert and you're playing in the desert, I know it's going to be wild and crazy, but two, they're going to be ready to go. And Burko has done a good job at the quarterback position, but I think once he sees the film and once he sees what Kevin Hogan was to do, what he was able to do at Stanford, I think he's going to be licking his chops. I know he's going to be sitting there saying to himself, man, there are a lot of options, a lot of ways that we can win this game, and there are going to be a lot of interesting opportunities.
How much pressure is on Sark this Saturday night from your view in the network chair?
It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure for a host of reasons, because everybody came into this year thinking that when you're number six in the country, that you deserve being number six, and you haven't played a lot of games, but you deserve number six because of the talent that you have. Not only the talent on the offense side, but the talent you have on the defensive side. And so for him, that's pressure, because I can't imagine that if you lose this game, now what does it say? And it says, in at least in my mind, it says that maybe it was more than just the talent. Maybe it's other things. Maybe it's part of the perception of what we're seeing in terms of the things that that were off the field. So there's going to be a lot of speculations of a lot of issues. So, yeah, it's a lot of pressure on them.
There's no question. I mean, that's what I'm hearing over here this week is from Trojan alums, the future of Sark and the off-the-field situation that happened at the dinner and the team with all the penalties the other night. Defensively, though, let's go back to Berkovici. So Hogan was able to use his feet. He was able to scramble. I think Berkovici, the first 2 weeks over here, Ronnie, was somewhat timid. And then last week, granted, it's New Mexico, but he was able to use his feet and be nimble, similar to Taylor Kelly last season. It seems to me Trojan defense has got to move forward. No Leonard Williams. Have they recruited and replaced him properly? Do they have enough horses to slow down ASU's offense Saturday?
Yeah, they got, again, they had enough horses to slow down Stanford. They have the horses. Well, so let's make sure that I'm letting everyone know they have the horses. The bigger question is that there is a scheme, and the scheme that you run, you have to execute the scheme. You have to be able to not only execute the scheme, but you have to be able to have discipline around the scheme. You have to be able to make sure that you don't give up big plays. You have to get off on third down. You have to execute your third down defense. So they have the horses. The bigger question is, are they executing? Are they doing the things that they need to do to win games? And so for me, that they haven't done, and they have to prove it. And I know this, you know, Burko is not, he's going to make it hard. He's going to make it very, very challenging. And the reason he's going to make it very, very challenging, for what you pointed out, when you have legs,
yep,
use them.
Yep.
And he hasn't been able to use them. And so I'm glad that he's going into this game knowing, and everybody knowing, that when he uses his legs, he's even more explosive and more dangerous. And I think that that was the thing that we saw in the A&M game, where he didn't use his legs. And then when he did, look what he did. I mean, he was able to score, you know, from, you know, 30 yards out. And it just showed that he's got the explosiveness, he's got the quickness, and he can do some of the things that Taylor Kelly did last year.
Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott with us. A couple other questions. We'll let you go with the Pac-12 Network. U of A, UCLA, are the Wildcats ready to be on the same stage as UCLA?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think they're very underrated. I've always said that Arizona's underrated. I do know that in this game, they're facing a quarterback that they haven't seen, a quarterback that is showing that he's a lot better than being a freshman. He's a guy who can get the ball around to a lot of different people. I think he's a better thrower than Hundley that played last year. So I'm looking forward to this game, because I think that it's a duel between the two quarterbacks. Solomon, I think, is an excellent quarterback. I think, again, I like his legs. I like how he's able to keep plays alive. But it's also going to be a game where the defense on both sides are going to have to play really well. And if you had to say which defense has the best, you got the best player. The best player on the field is probably this kid, Miles Jack. And then you don't have their best player, Scooby. And I have Scooby right out there. You know, to me, it takes away from it. So, you got two guys that are, you know, equal, and Scooby, if he was there, I'd lean a little bit more to Arizona, but because he's not there, I'm leaning a little bit more to UCLA.
Before I let you go, the 49ers are in town, too. I mean, I got it all going on here in Arizona this weekend.
I know.
Busy out here. So do you have a thought on the 49ers at this point of the season from a distance?
Well, first of all, I have a point on both teams. And what we saw with the Niners came out first week, had a great game. Second week, man, they just could not stop anyone with the deep pass. And that leads me to my comments around Arizona. And Arizona, when you think about their receiving core and you think about Carson and knowing what Carson has been able to do, getting back, coming back, this is going to be a very interesting game for the 49ers because they're going to have to slow down the passing game. And I just know that Carson and that collective group of guys are so explosive. They love attacking you downfield, and they have the speed. And so, yeah, it's a lot of great football this weekend for the state of Arizona. And matter of fact, I might even be down there for a little stint just because when you got that much football, you should be around it.
That's it.
So no, I might even come down for this.
There's no question about it. Thanks for the time, as always, Ronnie.
Thank you very much, man. You take care.
You have U of A and College Game Day that are going to be in Tucson. Game Day will be there. And U of A, UCLA. We have the 49ers and the Cardinals coming in on Sunday. We have USC with their coach under siege Saturday night against AS. I mean, there's just so many angles, but I think the U of A angle to me is the most interesting in terms of national recognition. Because if there's one thing I know about Greg Byrne and Rich Rodriguez, and we had Rich on yesterday's show and on the TV show last night, both men are trying very, very hard to let people know that U of A is a football school just as much as it is a basketball school. And I think they've done a very good job of accomplishing that. But the both of them have never had the magnifying glass of College Game Day in Tucson. When Rich tells me yesterday on the show, he can tell recruits at 6 a.m. to get up and start watching his program and that they're going to focus on more than just the football game. They've never had that before. So Saturday is enormous for them in that space. And the athletic director, Greg Byrne, joins us for a couple of minutes. I know you're busy. Did I state this correctly, what Saturday means for you and the university?
Right. Yeah, you did very well. That was a good way of capturing where we are going into the weekend and the excitement level that's there in Tucson at the U of A. And it's going to be great exposure for, obviously, for our football program, but our athletics department, our university, and really all of Southern Arizona. We couldn't be more excited to welcome our friends from Game Day into town.
Okay, how much work does it take to convince Game Day to come to your school behind the scenes?
Actually, yeah, they don't want that much lobbying. Reese Davis has been a longtime friend of mine. He's from Alabama, and my years in the SEC, I got to know him well. And I've actually asked him for advice in the past because we've been on the radar screen a couple times. And he said, you know, Greg, we're gonna make the best decision possible. So, you know, we obviously exchanged some messages last week, and I sent a couple of emails to a few folks. But just like when we're trying to make a decision, we really don't want to get bombarded in the decision making process. But we just let them know that the door was wide open. We put on a great show for them, and we'd be really excited for them to be there. And that seemed to work pretty well. And Reese and I exchanged messages afterwards, and he said, you know, everybody was very excited and pleased with where we were with it.
Arizona Athletic Director Greg Byrne with us for a couple of minutes. So where are they going to set up for fans that are coming down? We're sending Jared Cohen down on Friday to just do a piece on the whole setup and all that stuff. But for fans on Saturday, where is that going to be set up?
It's going to be so where Old Main is, right in the middle of campus. It's going to be on the east side of Old Main on the mall and right by the Student Union. And it's the same place they set up last time when they were in Tucson in 2009, and that went really well. And obviously Old Main has been renovated since then. So I think it will really showcase our campus, and you know, it's just so wonderful to have, you know, literally millions of people watching our university and our program, and we couldn't be more excited about the opportunity that's there, and we know we can put a lot of people in, and so we'll want all of our students and all of our fans to go to bed early on Friday night, get a good night's rest, and hopefully not stay up all night and then come out, but get a good night's rest and get out there and be there first thing in the morning to show the passion that's there for the University of Arizona.
What do you do in terms of business development? This is really a backdoor question, I think, the whole business development side, Greg, for your end. When ESPN comes to town, does the hierarchy of U of A, whether it's athletics or academics, make sure that they take these people around Tucson in a pretty quick manner because they get in and get out and show them the city? Or is it just you stay out of their way, they do their thing, you're out of their lane? How does that work?
Yeah, you pretty much stay out of their way because they've got a lot of prep to do. We actually are having a donor event at my house on Friday night. We've got about 100 plus people coming over to my home, and so they'll obviously be invited there. But really, even if they do show up, it'll probably be a quick in and out because there's so much preparation on such a short time frame to get ready for a game day broadcast. And so we obviously don't want to interfere with that. But, they'll get a chance to do a quick look through Tucson and U of A, but mostly their focus is obviously on what's going on with the broadcast.
And your game is sold out or close to it?
We're knocking on the door. We're over 50,000 right now and sold over 2,500 tickets yesterday. We've got a pretty good pace going again today, so we expect it to be sold out by the time we kick off.
I mentioned off the top about basketball school, and I didn't mean that as a shot, and I don't when I've said it in the past. But do you feel like the football program is now on the same playing field and all that is left is just results in terms of basketball versus football on campus?
Well, I think Greg Hansen said it very well this weekend when he went up to the Upper East Side of our stadium and talked to the fans over there. That you know the passion that's there for Arizona football and really the passion that's there for the University of Arizona as a whole. And that's one of our separators because we're the only game in town and people really care 365 days a year what goes on with our athletics program and football included. And Rich has also said, hey, it's good to be known for something if that's basketball or whatever it is. But one of the things that there's a reason why Sean Miller wanted to come to Arizona. It's because you can compete at the highest levels in men's basketball. But the reality is we've won 21 national championships at the U of A. One of them has been in men's basketball. We've won 20 in other sports. And so that's one of the great things about our place is whatever sport we compete in, we got a chance to compete at a high level. Our women's soccer program just got ranked in the top 25, we think, for the first time in our program's history today. Mm-hmm. And so we've got football, we've got volleyball, we have women's soccer all in the top 25, and that's fun to be a part of something like that.
Greg Byrne with us. I have to ask you this because it's been out there. Pat Forty put your name alongside the Texas job. You referred to Greg Hansen. He mentioned if you were to ever leave this past Sunday in his Sunday Notes column. Are you getting people pursuing you, Greg?
Well, it's been mentioned in the media, and it's certainly flattering, but very happy at U of A. I think we're making a lot of progress. Got great support from Dr. Hart. The way I always look at it, you obviously each time your name comes up, you don't want to necessarily have to respond publicly, but I guess I'll take people talking to me about that in that manner rather than saying, boy, we can't wait to get rid of the guy. So I feel very fortunate, but I'm also very happy at the U of A and what we're doing here.
Sure, sure. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Bear down.
Greg Byrne with us for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with Greg Byrne. Hey, so Eric, it's been fast today. We have to talk about Jail Mary this week. I think that, and we'll do it either tomorrow or Thursday, and we should probably put in the TV show because ASU was just dead flat lucky to win that game last year. There's no other way to put it. When people say we beat USC, I have to tell you, USC stopped playing. It wasn't that you beat them. They stopped playing. They folded their tent. It was a great play that you made. And ASU fans don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. Game was finished. They quit. When a team quits because they think they're done, that's not a good reflection on the coach. And Jail Mary is a big part of the story this week. I mean, it really is. So we'll talk with Eric about that because Eric was there. Eric shot the game. Eric was in the middle of all that last year, and he's going to be there on Saturday night. Sports360AZ.com. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Plenty of content up on our website. Pro, college, and high school. Peter King, Ronnie Lott, Greg Byrne. Tomorrow, Michael Fabiano, all your fantasy football stuff from the best of the best at the NFL Network. Pedro Gomez tomorrow on the Diamondbacks down the stretch in the baseball playoffs. And Jake Plummer's on Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com.